What a wonderful psalm we have there. I think of that fifth verse. Because the Lord our God is good, His mercy is forever sure, His truth at all times firmly stood, and shall from age to age endure. What wonderful words. The Lord our God is good, and His mercy endureth forever. We're going to once again turn to our Bibles this morning. We're going to turn to the book of 1 Peter in the chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read just 6 verses at the close of this chapter, verses 20, through to the verse number 25, and it is just the latter words of verse 26 or verse 21 I would like to take my text from. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll read from verse number 20 and through to the verse number 25. Let's read the word of God together. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Amen. We know the Lord will bless this public reading of his precious and infallible truth. Let's just pray before God. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this meeting thus far. We thank thee for the scriptures that are before us. We thank thee, Lord, that thou, O Lord, has afforded us this time to read the word of God and to preach the word. Bless this people gathered. Bless this preacher. Be my mouth, matter, and wisdom, Lord, thou knowest. O Lord, this old vessel, Lord, that stands here, is nothing in himself. Take of these few simple words. May be a blessing to this congregation and a help along the way. Strengthen the brethren and sisters. Undertake for them, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen. I was reading, I only read 5 or 6 verses there, but I'm going to say something and maybe some things you shouldn't say. I was listening to someone moan of late. And some people like to moan. And they moaned about one of the students that are in Bible college. And they moaned, the reason why they moaned was because the student read 31 verses during a meeting. And it kind of hurt me when they said it about that person. Hurt me especially because it is through the reading of the Word of God, it's through the Word of God we, the men and women, are one for Christ. It is infallible truth, it is God's Word, and someone doesn't want to hear the reading of the Word of God or some problem. And I had to try and encourage that person, I tried to strengthen that person, but tried to also tell them off on the way. And just in thinking of that, and I only read the 5 verses, I asked you to pray that we would love to read the Word of God. But that's something that's been in my heart, and I've preached it in a number of congregations, and not the same passage, of course, but I preach. And it's something in my heart, and I preached it even the other evening in a prayer meeting, that we need to get back to reading the Word of God. For I believe that's where we're finding ourselves, and sometimes we slip away, and you'll find it in my testimony this evening. That's where my downfall came in my life, and I'm sad that that happened. It's from reading, from forgetting to read the Word of God. And I pray we'd be a people who would read, the Word of God, because we have a faithful God. We have a wonderful God, and this God does not fail us on any occasion. We fail Him, yet God does not fail us. We turn our backs on Him, yet He's standing there by our side, which in times when we go through difficulties, times when we come across where there's trials, we fall, we faint, we become unfaithful to the Lord our God. Society today would even tell us to turn away from God. Society tells us that you don't need the Bible anymore. Society tells us that you don't need the commandments anymore. They say we've got new faiths, believe in them. They say forget what the Word of God says, take hold of these new things, because they need an ear, you must listen to them, they must have a voice. We're told on our radio programs, we're told on our TV programs, that these people need a voice, but yet the Word of God shouldn't be preached. We're told to go this way. We're told to go the other way. We're told to follow these steps or follow someone else's, but we're not told to follow the Word of God. And one thing that's often said today, don't preach the gospel anymore. Don't preach Christ crucified, because that preaching is not acceptable to this society today. And they're asked to dumb down the Word of God. Bring something new. Forget about what's there. Tell us something different. And they don't want to hear the truth. And the Word of God to them is not acceptable to their ears. And the Lord speaks of that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Lord spoke to me in calling me into the ministry where people come with fabbling ears. Itching ears and want to hear fables. They want to hear new things. They don't want to hear the things of God anymore. But we are commanded by the authority of Scripture to preach the Word. Because Scripture is what God says to us. And I want to encourage every believer that is gathered in this congregation this morning. I want to encourage you to hold fast in the things of God. Hold fast, because the Savior is faithful. And there was no greater day than the day where the Lord spoke to you, which you realized that you were a sinner, and you came unto Him with that bended knee, and you said, "Oh God, thank you, Lord, for saving me, and I am a sinner, and save me by thy grace." Never give up. Never turn away, because the Savior never gives up on us. Let us love the Lord. Let us cherish His Word. Let us grasp what He has to say to us. Let us this morning break upon the bread of life. We have in our mother tongue before us, in 1 Peter chapter 2. And this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2, I want to read just one verse once again. It's really concentrating, as I said, in the final six verses of verse 21. Let's read the Word of God together, verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." Here's the six words: "that ye should follow His steps." Our mindset is set over the last week. Last Lord's Day was Reformation Sunday. There on Friday was Reformation Day. And these men of old who stood fast to the Scriptures, they stood fast to what God had to say. And that's why we remember such men. Because they loved the Lord, because they sought after the God of heaven. And because in these words that they said that they should follow after his steps, what better steps could we follow after? What better steps could you and I step after but in the Lord's? And I believe that the best thing that any one of us could do, the best thing that we could ever do is follow. We should follow his steps. Best thing we should do is follow his steps. And we're going to ask a few whys. Why? Because the Bible tells us there that we're called. And because he's an example to us. It says in verse 21, for even hereunto ye were ye called, leaving us an example. If you're a child of God in the meeting this morning, you know the words of John chapter 15, verse 16, which says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And you're gathered in this meeting this morning, and you've been chosen by God unto salvation, and you've been blessed by God, and you've been brought into his family. And we're thrust away from the world, and away from the worldly matters, and our thoughts are now not of the world, but our thoughts are Godward. And the old things have passed away, and we have received a new heart in Christ Jesus, and have been called by the work of grace that has been done in our lives. And we can say, praise God, because we realize that there is nothing in ourselves that could do anything to receive such a blessing. And we are blessed, for he has done a work in our lives. And therefore, because God has done a work in our lives, we should walk circumspectly before him. Meaning that we should walk in his ways. And we're called, what this verse tells us to do, to follow him. We're called to follow him. We're not called to waver. We're not called to move to the right hand or left hand. But we're to follow forth, being steadfast in the work, as it tells us that we should be. We should follow his steps, because he is, what is he? It tells us in that word, in that verse, an example. For Christ to be an example, it means that he'd have to live a perfect life. For Christ to be that example for us, it means that he would have to live that sinless life. And for him to be that example before us, it should be a life where we can look upon and say, there is none greater that I could follow after. And surely we can look at Christ this morning, and we could say that we need to live by his example. Because Christ lived as example before others, and so we can see it in the Word of God. You know that word, example? Example, I was looking up and trying to see this example, and it says, this word example is kind of an obscure meaning in the English language. But in the Greek language, this word example is actually in the plurality. And when the word example goes there, it tells us that we need to have a plural example. We need to have, yes, we think of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but we need to have an example of loving tenderness, of kindness, of goodness, of the attributes that are there of God, and we need to see that example of God, that we would be an example in this life. See, the life that's before us presents us with specifics. See, there is a specific model that we should follow by, that is our example, Jesus Christ. There is a proper pattern which we should follow by, that is the pattern that's before us in this verse. The example of Jesus Christ that we should follow in his steps. New child of God, if we gather this morning, and I went down from this pulpit, not that I will. If I stepped down from this congregation, or this pulpit this morning, and said to you, I want you to give me a personal word of testimony briefly of how you lived. Then I'm going to do something out of the ordinary. I would turn to the person beside you. And that person may be your spouse, your family, or someone that knows you well.
I would say, now I want you to tell me their testimony. We see how that testimony matches up and see that if our life is that example where it should be. To see if we have in our private life, that we have in our close, our times in our homes, if that example proclaims forth as it is shown in our congregations as we look upon it, because it is easy for us to sit in a congregation and look the part and pretend to be an example and to pretend to follow after God's example, but yet be far away from God. And we need to follow in His footsteps, because what blessed footsteps are they to follow? What blessed footsteps? You see, Jesus is the best example that I could ever give you. You see, the Savior was tempted, yet He kept the faith. He did not falter, He did not fail, and he was the life. And His life is the bread, and a life is example, and His life bread an example that we should follow after. Because we are a chosen people, that puts upon us a tremendous privilege. What a calling we have. What a calling we have. What a calling. But I must say that we'll not be perfect. And I'm not perfect before you think I am. For though not one be able to follow the perfect example completely of Christ till the day when we enter heaven. But what I ask and what Scripture tells us, that we should live our lives as perfectly as humanly possible that we can live. That we would surely follow His steps. That if it hasn't started already, that you will be Christ, more Christ-like. That it will begin today. Because the Savior, who is our example, urges us to follow His steps. You see, it's the best thing we could do. Because He is that example. The best thing we could do is that we could follow His steps. Why? Because He is a Savior, verse 22, who did no sin. Because He was a Savior who did no sin. We see earlier in this, in what we were mentioning there, and briefly this morning, we were mentioning that Christ is the example for us, and that we're chosen, and the example of what He is to us, and what He means to us, but He also is example, because He had no sin. No human beings, mankind. Humankind, we started out like this as well. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, made in the likeness of God, told to replenish they were told to eat of the fruit of the garden, eat of the herbs. Told to have dominion over the animals. They're told there in Genesis 1:28 and Genesis 2:15 and 16 there to have nourishment from the Garden of Eden, to be fruitful. And they're to love the Lord their God and the God and God of heaven. They listened to His voice. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. And they rejoiced in the things of God. And they were happy in the things of God. And they knew nothing about sin at that moment. But in one moment of time, sin grasped their hearts. Sometimes I think people don't realize. They realize the depths of what sin actually does. How changing really was in that Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve. Sin entered into their hearts. And that caused a division with God. And we're told that for all have sinned. And the moment of Adam and Eve taking of what they were told they shouldn't take of, death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But praise God,
in due season, told off in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15,
that in due season there would be a Savior, that there would be that blessed Son of God who come without sin, born of a virgin, and set on this world as the God-man, Jesus Christ. And he would die on the cross of Calvary so that we would be saved. And he was wrapped in those swaddling clothes, in the grave clothes, and he was without sin.
Why was he without sin? Why should we follow his steps? Why was he without sin? Here it is. Because he bare our sin. Because he bare our sin. And the word for bear in Greek, in the Greek language, is anakin, which means that they are bear or bore aloft.
Meaning that he takes our sins and bears them aloft from us and presents them on himself and takes them and removes. And if you can get the greatest word that there is for thinking of this word, anakin, it is that it is dissolved from us unto him.
What a wonderful God that we should follow after. What a wonderful God. Bear our sins. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is John 1, verse 29.
There we have John the Baptist. I think he's one of the greatest preachers in Scripture. Had a long ministry, but what a work he'd done. He prepared the way. It says, "Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. Taketh the sins of the world." You could read it like this. Behold the Lamb of God who bare our sins. He bore your sins.
And he took them so that once we had the life, which were separated here from God, and God then says, he says, "I'll put them sins on the Son, so you are brought into my family, and you'll be loved by God, and you'll love God, and we're not cut off from God because we're in his family." You see, Christ is without sin, yet he bore our sin. It says in verse 22, who did no sin. You know, the Apostle Paul writes something similar in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 21. You know, something simpler. It says these words. I'll read them to you. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him." That we may be made righteousness of God in him. And then Christ, for being our example, the one whom we should follow after, it makes us understand. It makes us understand that he is our righteous example that is presented for us in the way that we should live our lives. And I thank God for our glorious example that we have. As we quoted early, the one whom bare our sins, it says in there in verse 24, bare our sins. And I think of that verse, give himself for our sins to deliver us from this for a present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. That verse means a lot to me. It's a blessed verse. I knew it well. And then when I was heading to college, that was the verse where I was told to preach on when I went there for the examination board. And what a verse that verse is, Galatians 1:4, if you want to read it, study it. But it tells us that Christ who's sinless, the Christ who bare our sins, even though he was sinless, he came. He walked amongst mankind. Walked amongst the people whom he created. And in the province of time, he being rejected of man, he was placed as a lamb to the slaughter. And as we know, seen in Genesis, in Isaiah 53, and also in this verse 24 in this chapter,
That he was set as a lamb to the slaughter, and the purity of his blood means that we are reconciled to him in that glorious vicarious atonement.
And there is a reason why Jesus bore our sins. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Just read these words. There's a reason why he bore our sins. Romans 4, verse 25 says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." He was raised again for our justification so that we should be justified. What a wonderful Savior we have. A just to live by faith, it says. He is raised again for our justification. Not someone else's, but ours. If you're saved this morning, he's raised for your justification. What a wonderful example he is. Christ, who bore our sins and suffered for us. See in that verse 21, it tells us that he suffered. Christ also suffered for us. That means, and I'm going off where I should be going to, but that means that in times of hardship, in times of our struggling, times which we find difficult, times which just don't feel that you can do anything. Times when you get down to prayer and you just don't know how to pray. This knows that the Lord will be with us in those times. That shows. He suffered because he done good. He suffered for doing good. So shall we, but we will have the confidence because he shall be with us each step of the way. He suffered that vicarious atonement for our sin, meaning that it wasn't a suffering that was for himself, but a suffering that the Savior went through for your benefit. Your benefit, my benefit. And I think of David in the Psalmist number 51, where he cried and he realized that. He realized that God is. What did he cry unto the Lord? He says, "Lord, I realize," he says, "restore unto me the joy of my salvation." He realized that everything was in God alone. He realized that he could do nothing through himself, and he was the king. You know, we'll never follow Christ's footsteps to the cross and bear what he bore. But thankfully, he bore them for us. He bore them for us. I was going to read a verse in Isaiah 53, verse 10. You can read it yourself. The time's going, but there is a few verses I want you to read in Zechariah chapter 6. Or 13, sorry. Zechariah chapter 13. If you go back to Matthew, and you go Malachi, and then you'll find Zechariah. In chapter 13, there's some wonderful verses here I want to read, just briefly. It's a great example Christ is to follow us. We should follow him. Why? Zechariah 13 says there in the verse number 6, and read through to verse number 9. "And one shall say unto him," Zechariah 13, verse 6, "and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones, and it shall come to pass that in all the lands, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire. And I will refine them as silver is refined. And I will try them as gold is tried. I want you to listen to these next words. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. We're tried when we're tested. We look to that example, the sinless one of Jesus Christ. We call upon him, and it says, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, it is my God. What a wonderful passage that is. We are God's people. And he is our God. What a wonderful God. Very quickly, the best thing we should do, and we're going very quickly now, we should follow his steps. Why? Verse 25 says, for ye were a sheep. We are his sheep. We are his sheep. And Peter is concluding this passage of Scripture and is exhorting the believer in Christ Jesus to think on all these things. To think on Jesus. He says, I know man goes astray. But he says, return to the careful shepherd. Coming back to the pasture, letting the flock come into the sheepfold. He says, let the Savior take care of your life. Let the Savior lead this life that you have. We're reminded that the Supreme Shepherd watches over us. He puts his arms, the loving arms, around about us. He sheltered us with his love. And the Savior, him gave salvation, proves to us over and over that it's so good. Salvation is wonderful. And it proves over and over that he is the great shepherd who humanity needs to follow after. For if you come to him, the Bible tells us that you are known by him. I don't need to read those verses in John 10, verse 27, verse 29. You know them all well. You're not going to be cast out. You're known of God. God gave them to the Son. You know those verses. And you also know the other verses that say in Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The shepherd doesn't leave his people. Shepherd doesn't leave the people behind, the sheep behind. He comes after them. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You say, what can separate us? There's nothing that can. You know the verses in Romans chapter 8 which tell us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed. All the day long we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things are we more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or powers, nor things present, or things to come, nor height, or depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the shepherd comes by. He doesn't separate us. He doesn't remove himself from us. May we, as a people, strive to follow after him. We are, as it were, to copy the life which he had, or to reflect in our lives. Our lives should reflect that of God's, that of what the Savior presented for us. May we take up our cross daily and follow after him. Remember, he has shown you an example. Remember, this example is what should be important to you. And you say to me, Stephen, why? Why must I suffer? Why must I submit? Why must it be a sacrifice? Why must I serve?
I don't need to give you an answer.
For you know that the Savior did it already for you. Christ did it for you. What an example.
No human being is ever able to get up to that standard that Jesus met. For he was without sin. But if you're saved, I urge you this morning to follow his steps. Imitate steps of Christ.
You know what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said of this? He said a Christian should be a striking likeness of Jesus Christ. Basically, we should be pictures of Christ. Christ is our example in word and in deed. As we can walk as Christ walked, we can talk as Christ talked. And he said, this is not a condition of one's feet or lips, but it's a condition of the heart.
Now I close this morning.
I'm not going to read Philippians 4 verse 8 because of time, but the very end of that verse, Philippians 4 verse 8, it says these words.
Think on these things.
Christ is our true vine. Christ is our gracious and mighty example. May we think on the things of God. May we be guided by him in every step of the way. Because, why? Because he gave us the example that ye should follow his steps. May we take up and follow him. And may the Lord bless this brief and simple word of God even this morning. Let's just pray before God will close the meeting.